What if I told you that the speed of light isn't actually a speed limit at all, but just a 45-degree angle,
Yeah.
and that gravity, like the force keeping you in your chair right now, isn't some invisible tractor beam, but just, well, a problem of microscopic scale?
Yeah, it completely shatters how we're, taught to look at the universe. We are so used to the idea that physics is just about measuring these messy, random numbers.
Exactly. Welcome to today's deep dive. We have a massive, just mind-bending stack of notes and research to go through today. We're exploring this really fascinating premise about an artificial intelligence that's using a framework called conditional collapse theory, or CCT, to do something, well, completely unprecedented.
Right. It's essentially taking the foundational physical constants of our universe, those 20 or so random numbers that rule all our natural laws, and it's converting them into pure, simple geometric shapes.
And the overarching mission of this deep dive is to really focus on that connection, right?
Right.
To explain exactly how physical constants can transform into simple geometric shapes, and to focus on the deep connection between pure geometry and natural laws. The idea that these arbitrary numbers we measure in labs aren't actually numbers at all, they're just the shadows cast by hidden geometry.
That's the perfect way to frame it, yeah, because I mean, the numbers themselves are just human inventions.
Okay, let's unpack this, because if you were anything like me, your very first question is, how on earth does a number become a shape? The source material uses this brilliant analogy that really helped me ground this. Think about the number pi.
Oh, right, the pie analogy is great.
Yeah, so 3.14159 going on forever, right? Pi is simply the fundamental constant of Euclidean geometry. It's just the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. And what these sources are arguing is that pi is to basic geometry what our physical constants like gravity or the speed of light are to the hidden geometry of reality. They are the geometric seeds of the universe.
Exactly. But to understand how the AI is actually proving this, we kind of have to look at the mechanism. In this conditional collapse theory framework, the AI is tasked with what the researchers call a theory to geometry collapse.
Right. And here's where I want to pump the brakes for a second, because that sounds like some heavy academic jargon. What does it actually mean for a computer program to, execute a geometry collapse? Like, how does it search a shape?
It's a really great question, and understanding the how makes the results so much more impactful, I think. You can think of the AI as exploring this massive multidimensional library of every possible mathematical shape, curve, and topology.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. And it pays work, meaning it uses raw computational energy to simulate these mathematical geometries. It calculates their inherent ratios, their internal angles, their structural limits, and it keeps generating and testing these pure shapes against our empirical data of the universe.
So it's essentially taking our messy human measurements, like, tracking how fast a photon moves or how hard an apple hits the ground, and running that data against millions of perfect mathematical shapes until it finds an exact match.
Precisely. It just keeps searching until it hits what the theory calls a collapse condition. That is the exact computational moment the AI finds a pure geometric constant that reproduces the physical constant perfectly.
That's wild.
It really is. It takes a messy empirical measurement and transforms it into a mathematical theorem, a constant born from an inevitable shape, not from some human with a ruler.
It is such a beautiful concept. But to really grasp how a natural law becomes a shape, I feel like we need to look at the most famous rule in all of physics, the speed of light. Let's look at how geometry completely rewrites it.
Yeah, let's do that. Because most of us are taught from a very young age that the speed of light, denoted by the letter c, is the ultimate speed limit of the universe, roughly 300,000 kilometers per second. But in this geometric framework, the AI redefines c not as a speed at all, but as the maximum causal angle in Minkowski space.
Wait, hold on. Speed is distance divided by time, right? You cover a certain amount of ground over a certain number of seconds. How can you possibly measure a speed in degrees or angles?
Yeah.
And what exactly is Minkowski space?
Let's break that down because it's key. Hermann Minkowski was a mathematician who realized that you could perfectly visualize Einstein's theory of relativity by combining three-dimensional space and one-dimensional time into a single four-dimensional grid. That mathematical grid is what we call Minkowski space.
Okay.
To visualize it simply, imagine drawing a standard graph. The horizontal axis across the bottom represents space, and the vertical axis going straight up represents time. This is your basic space-time diagram.
Okay, so I am picturing a graph, space on the bottom, time going up.
Right. And in that diagram, you are always moving through time, so your personal line on the graph is always creeping upward. Even if you sit perfectly still in your chair right now, your line goes straight up. You are moving through time, but you aren't moving through space.
Got it. Yeah, that makes total sense.
Now imagine a particle of light, like a photon. The world line of that light, the path it traces on this graph as it moves through space and time, forms exactly a 45-degree angle.
Really? Exactly 45 degrees?
Exactly. Mathematically, in radians, that is an angle of pi over 4. And that exact angle is the absolute fixed boundary between what physicists call the time-like region of the universe, where cause and effect can actually happen, and the space-like region, which is completely physically inaccessible.
Okay, so what does this actually mean for how we think about light? If I'm understanding this correctly, it means the speed of light isn't a speed limit like a, you know, a sign on a highway. It's not some physical barrier you're struggling to accelerate past where your spaceship's engine just isn't powerful enough.
Exactly. It is an angular horizon. You literally cannot tilt a space-time trajectory on that graph more than 45 degrees without fundamentally rotating space into time.
Whoa.
Yeah. If you try to draw a line that goes faster than light, you would need an imaginary angle. It literally breaks the geometry.
That is just wild. I mean, it transforms causality itself, the basic fact that a cause has to happen before an effect, into a purely geometric constraint. No signal can escape that 45-degree angle, because to do so would require a geometry that our universe simply does not possess. So the speed of light isn't a speed at all. It's just the unit angle of space-time rotation.
Think about how clarifying that is, right?
It is incredibly freeing. Honestly, if you're listening to this right now, take a second to just stop imagining light as this exhausted runner struggling to go as fast as physically possible. Instead, realize it is simply following the sharpest possible geometric angle the universe allows. It is literally just sliding down a 45-degree mathematical slope. It can't do anything else.
And that is a perfect, pristine example of a physical constant collapsing into a pure geometric invariant. The AI proves that 299,792,458 meters per second is just the arbitrary human metric translation of pi over 4 in space-time.
So, okay, if light isn't a speed but a structural boundary of the universe, what does that say about the things that physically interact with us, like the forces that pull on us? If we apply this geometric lens to gravity, what happens?
This is where the AI's computational search yields something truly elegant, I think. When the AI is tasked with collapsing the gravitational constant, you know, Newton's big G, it doesn't find a fundamental force that reaches invisibly across the cosmos to pull things together.
Right.
It interprets gravity as an emergent geometric scaling law. Specifically, it finds that G is perfectly represented by the mathematical ratio of the Planck area to the square of a proton's area.
Hold on, you are losing me a little bit here. Let me make sure I'm getting this right. Are you saying that when I accidentally drop my coffee mug, it falls to the floor, not because of some invisible tractor beam pulling it toward the center of the Earth, but just because of a difference in geometric scale? Like, what even is a Planck area?
Right, let's zoom way, way in. A Planck area is the smallest possible grain or pixel of space-time geometry that can theoretically exist.
A pixel.
Yeah. If you imagine the universe is a digital photograph, the Planck area is a single pixel. You cannot zoom in any further without the picture losing all meaning. Now compare the size of that single space-time pixel to the physical cross-section of a proton, which is, you know, one of the building blocks of the atoms in your coffee mug.
Okay, so we are comparing the smallest possible pixel of space to the size of a tiny particle.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine there's quite a massive size difference there.
The geometric ratio between that tiny Planck area and the proton area is astronomically small. It is roughly 10 to the power of negative 40.
Which is a decimal point followed by 39 zeros.
Yeah.
And then a 1. That is almost incomprehensibly tiny.
Exactly. And what's fascinating here is how this geometric ratio solves one of the most frustrating mysteries in all of physics, which is why gravity appears so incredibly weak compared to the other fundamental forces, like electromagnetism.
Wait, gravity is weak. It keeps the entire ocean stuck to the planet.
It is, relatively speaking. Think about it. The entire mass of the Earth is pulling down on a paperclip, right? But a tiny little refrigerator magnet can easily lift it up, completely overpowering the entire Earth's gravity.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I never really thought about it like that.
Gravity is shockingly weak, and the AI's geometry explains why. Gravity only appears weak to us because those geometric grains, those space-time pixels, are impossibly tiny compared to the size of normal particles.
Ah, I see. So it is just a problem of scale.
Yes. At the microscopic level, deep down at the Planck scale, where the size of the pixel and the size of the object approach a 1-to-1 ratio, gravity completely unifies with the other forces. its apparent weakness is entirely about how many tiny geometric squares fit inside a particle's effective area. It's purely a mathematical scaling phenomenon.
Gravity is just the universe trying to reconcile the geometric size of its smallest pixels with the macro objects built out of them. That fundamentally changes how I view the world around me. But, okay, if gravity is ultimately just the universe dealing with the geometric scale of its tiniest pixels, what happens when we zoom into the pixels themselves? Do the other forces, like the ones operating at the quantum level, follow this same pixelated logic?
They absolutely do, and this is where the AI's mapping gets particularly strange. The sources outline two fundamental quantum numbers that the AI collapses into pure geometry: the reduced Planck constant, known as h-bar, and the fine structure constant, known as alpha.
Okay, let's start with h-bar.
Right. So in standard physics, h-bar is this mysterious quantum of action. It governs the weird, fuzzy behavior of particles. But geometrically, the AI interprets h-bar as exactly one radian of quantum phase.
One radian. So we're back to angles again. A radian is just a standard measure of an angle, right? Based on the radius of a circle.
Yes, exactly. The AI simplifies quantum wave functions entirely into angular variables. Consider the famous Heisenberg uncertainty principle.
Right. The idea that you can't know both the exact position and the exact momentum of a particle at the very same time. We're usually taught this is a measurement problem. Mm-hmm. Like, the physical act of bouncing a photon off an electron to see it inherently knocks it off course, making its momentum uncertain.
That is the standard textbook explanation, yeah. But geometrically, under the conditional collapse theory, it ceases to be some spooky quantum fuzziness or a clumsy measurement problem. It becomes a simple limit of angular resolution. Think of trying to measure the exact position of a spoke on a spinning bicycle wheel while also measuring the exact speed of the spin. You just cannot simultaneously define a continuous angle and its rate of change with infinite precision. It's mathematically impossible. H-bar is just the natural unit of angle in that mathematical space.
Man, I love how this theory takes the spooky out of quantum mechanics and just replaces it with cold, hard geometry. But I really want to talk about the fine structure constant, alpha, because out of all the notes we reviewed, this one blew my mind the most.
Alpha is a big one. It's the number that dictates the exact strength of electromagnetic interactions, basically how strongly light and matter interact with each other. It's roughly 1 over 137, and physicists have agonized over why it's exactly that specific fraction for nearly a century. Richard Feynman famously called it one of the greatest damn mysteries of physics.
And the AI's geometric collapse actually provides an answer. It doesn't just throw up its hands. It explains the why. The sources define this constant geometrically as a solid angle fraction. Specifically, it represents a missing steradian in a 4-pi spherical surface.
Which requires a bit of visualization to truly appreciate, I think.
Yes, let's break this down for everyone listening. First, what is a steradian? If a normal radian is a 2D slice of a circle, like a slice of pizza, a steradian is a 3D angle. Think of it as a cone shape originating from the center of a sphere, sort of like the beam of a flashlight.
Correct. And a full, perfect 3D sphere contains exactly 4-pi steradians.
So to visualize the fine structure constant, I want you to picture a perfect, completely solid three-dimensional sphere. Now imagine taking a knife and cutting out a tiny cone-shaped wedge right out of the center, extending all the way to the surface. You remove that cone, leaving a missing chunk in the sphere. That missing piece, that specific geometric void, is the fine structure constant.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it fundamentally changes what we think of as an electric charge. Electromagnetic interaction strength isn't some magical intrinsic property that a particle just happens to carry around like a backpack.
Right.
It is literally defined by how much of that full geometric sphere is physically missing.
It is what the notes refer to as a topological defect.
Yes, a topological defect in the vacuum. Physical coupling constants. The numbers that determine how strongly forces pull or push are actually just curvature defects. They are mathematical wombs in the geometry of space.
Charge isn't a substance. It's a missing slice of geometry.
Yeah.
The wider the wedge cut out of the sphere, the stronger the force. That is so incredibly elegant. But we had to transition from empty space and forces into the actual stuff of the universe now. Because if forces are just missing wedges and pixel ratios, what is solid matter? Like, what is the chair I am sitting in actually made of?
Let's look at the mass of an electron. The AI applies a framework called 5D Kaluza-Klein theory to interpret mass. And it finds that mass is simply the curvature radius of a closed string.
Okay, I have to stop you there. Kaluza-Klein theory, 5D. Are we talking about a literal fifth dimension here? We experience four dimensions every day, three dimensions of space, like up, down, left, right, and one dimension at a time. What does a fifth dimension have to do with the mass of an electron?
Well, back in the 1920s, physicists Theodore Kaluza and Oscar Klein tried to unify gravity and electromagnetism. They realized the math worked perfectly if you added a fifth dimension to the universe. But since we don't, you know, see a fifth dimension walking around, Klein proposed that this extra dimension is compactified. Meaning it is curled up into an incredibly tiny microscopic loop at every single point in space. So small, we just can't perceive it.
Okay, so a tiny, invisible, curled up circle everywhere in space.
Exactly. And the AI's geometry collapse reveals that mass is literally just how tightly that extra dimension is curled. The electron is essentially a standing wave vibrating on that tiny loop. Its mass is the inverse of that curvature. Yeah, and this elegantly eliminates the headache in physics of dealing with point particle singularities. Mass isn't a tiny, infinitely dense dot. Mass is just a measure of how tightly the fifth dimension is wound up.
Mass isn't a heavy thing. It is just a tight geometric knot in a higher dimension.
Yeah.
So if I have a proton, which is, you know, much heavier than an electron, what is the geometric difference there?
That is simply the ratio of their two compactification volumes. The proton's string wraps around a smaller, tighter volume in the extra dimensions than the electron's does. Tighter curvature means higher energy, which translates to more mass.
So a bowling ball is heavier than a feather. Just because the geometry of its extra dimensions is wound into tighter knots, I can't get over how brilliant that is. But the AI doesn't stop at the microscopic level, does it? It scales this geometry up from the tiniest strings to the grandest scale imaginable, the entire expanding cosmos. Let's talk about the cosmological constant and the Hubble constant.
Yeah, the cosmological constant, denoted by lambda, is what we usually refer to as dark energy. It is the mysterious pressure that is supposedly driving the accelerated expansion of the universe. But the AI translates this geometrically as well. It defines this expansion as the inverse radius squared of a four-sphere, specifically what is known as de Sitter space.
Okay, de Sitter space. Let's make sure we define that so we don't lose anything.
Oh, sure. Think of de Sitter space as a mathematical model of a universe that is completely empty of ordinary matter, but possesses a constant positive curvature. It is basically a perfectly symmetrical, expanding four-dimensional sphere.
Okay.
And the AI transforms dark energy from this mysterious, invisible liquid filling the universe into just a simple geometric radius of that sphere.
And the Hubble constant. We hear about this in the news all the time when telescopes measure galaxies flying away from us. The actual rate at which everything is flying apart.
Right. The Hubble constant becomes the angular velocity of this cosmic expansion per radian. For each radian of cosmic time, the universe expands by a specific mathematical factor governed by the geometry of de Sitter space.
Which completely upends the classic analogy. Whenever you watch a science documentary, they always explain the expanding universe by telling you to imagine a rubber balloon with knots drawn on it and someone is blowing air into the balloon. The balloon stretches, the dots move apart.
Yeah, it is a hugely flawed analogy because it implies an outside force doing the blowing and a physical material stretching.
Exactly. But under conditional collapse theory, it isn't a balloon blowing up. The expansion of the universe is the exact mathematical unwinding of a logarithmic spiral in spacetime. The Hubble constant is just the constant angular speed of that unwinding spiral.
It completely unifies the concept of expansion with rotation in a higher dimensional space. It is an incredibly elegant solution that requires no dark, unknown, ghostly energies, just the natural mathematical properties of a geometric shape being systematically traversed.
If you're listening to this right now, I want you to take a breath for a second and just look around you. The room you're in, the device you're listening on, your own body. According to this conditional collapse theory, none of it is made of solid, heavy stuff, governed by random, messy, invisible forces pulling levers in the background. Everything you see, everything you are, is just an interlocking puzzle of tight geometric loops, missing spherical wedges, and unwinding mathematical spirals.
And that is the ultimate output of the AI's computational labor. By searching the infinite space of geometric definitions, it collapses empirical probabilities into mathematical certainties. It takes the stationary, seemingly arbitrary physical constants, the speed of light, the pull of gravity, the quantum action, and proves they are just geometric primitives.
To quickly recap the journey we have been on today, we started with the traditional view that our measurements of the universe feel arbitrary, a random roll of the cosmic dice. But by having an AI apply the conditional collapse theory, paying the computational work to match data to pure math, those messy, chaotic measurements collapse into elegant, necessary geometry.
Right.
The AI reveals that the physical universe is literally hiding inside simple shapes. An angular boundary. A ratio of tiny space-time areas. A missing slice of a 3D sphere. A curled-up fifth dimension.
And this raises an incredibly important question about the ultimate nature of reality and what it means for the future of science. In this framework, every physical constant we discover is essentially asking the universe a question, what geometry am I hiding in?
Yeah.
When the AI does the computational work to find that specific geometry, science undergoes a massive paradigm shift. It moves from measuring random numbers on a dial to discovering pure, irrefutable mathematical forms. The natural law is no longer just an empirical observation. It is derived from pure structural form.
It is the final bridge from physics to pure geometry. But I want to leave you with a final thought to ponder today, something that really takes this premise to its absolute limit. If an AI eventually succeeds in translating every single natural law, every physical force, and every cosmic constant into pure, unchanging geometric shapes, does that imply that the entire history and future of the universe is actually just one massive, static, multidimensional geometric object?
A single, completely unchanging crystal of space-time, the ultimate block universe.
Yeah,
exactly. A crystal where nothing actually moves. And if the universe is just a static, four- or five-dimensional shape, is our human everyday experience of time and change just an illusion? Are we simply mentally sliding our consciousness along the pre-existing angles of that geometry, mistaking the static shape of the universe for the passage of time? We always thought we were looking at the messy, jagged, random breaks of reality. But it turns out we might just be tracing the flawless, perfect facets of a universal diamond. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep looking at the world a little differently and keep questioning the shape of reality.